I'd like to welcome everyone back to our service this evening. Continuing with our theme, What Saith the Scriptures, my subject this evening comes from Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. Let me just say I'm really glad I didn't have that lesson this morning. It's a tough one, really tough. For just a moment, though, before we start, I was thinking, I was talking to Casey as we were coming to church and thinking about the lesson this morning and everything. And Brenda and I met Brenda when she was 12 years old, if you can imagine that. And she actually went steady with both of my brothers in junior high school and high school. And I didn't actually have a date with Brenda until I was out of school for a year or so, you know, so strange things. Anyway, Brenda was 17 when we got married, and it was today, on this day, that I proposed to her 48 years ago. So it's been a while. And I was thinking about, as I was talking to Casey, how in the very beginning, I realized now how really selfish, you know, I was as far as in considering, you know, what Dwayne was talking about, you know, emotional needs and things like that. And I can remember, I can tell you in the car business, the divorce percentage in the car business is probably greater than a lot of businesses because you go early, you stay late. You get a half a day off occasionally, and when you do, you're so tired you really don't want to do anything. And I can remember going home on a Friday afternoon just being dead tired. And Brenda would say something like that, "Hey, why don't we go out to eat this evening or maybe see a movie?" I said, "Man, I am tired. You know, I'm really tired." And I'd lay down, and in about 30 or 45 minutes, my younger brother would call and say, "Hey, you want to go out to the round and round races?" I said, "Yeah, sure, let's go to the races." And so that's, I think that's what you would call selfishness. You know, not able to go to a movie or to have dinner, but boy, when it came to time to go to the races, I was ready to go. And then I got to thinking about when I moved to San Angelo. You know, we had an infant. Jeff was an infant, a one-year-old, two-year-old, three-year-old, and a nine-year-old. And I leave town for 6 months. Even to a point on the weekend, I'm so tired that I can't make it home on the weekend sometimes. We had just started painting the house. And so she tends to the kids. She paints the house. She sells the house. And I'm down here thinking, poor me, man, I am working hard. So anyway, Dwayne, good lesson. Brought back some memories of how it was in the very beginning, and we realize as we continue together, you know, boy, I look back and I was really a selfish person. I really didn't take in consideration much of what really Brenda was going through and everything. So that 100% and 100% in the very beginning, somebody's got to be 150%. And that other person's probably 50, until you can kind of mature to a point that you're able to realize, you know, how you need to do some things and everything. So anyway, thanks, Dwayne. It's a very good job this morning. Okay, for the text this evening, I decided to take verses 26 through verse 29. There the Bible says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You know, we read the Bible, and there's certain phrases that we continue to read just over and over. And sometimes we really don't give a thought to what the real meaning of certain phrases are. And when I look at this verse 27, where it says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ," those two phrases, "into Christ" and "have put on Christ," are phrases that we have read many times again, and sometimes we just don't take in consideration what they really mean. And it's not until someone asks, or until a time like this where you have a responsibility of studying a lesson to be able to present it to others, that you really have time to stop and think. And sometimes it's hard to express what we really know. And I got to thinking, that's why when young children ask the questions like, "Why is the sky blue?" or "How old is God?" You know, we know the answer, but we have to stop and think. How do you express that to a young child so that they can understand that? You know, even though you know that answer, you know, how do you really tell a young child how old God is, or why is the sky blue? I've actually taken in consideration not only the phrase "into Christ" and "put on Christ," but I've also taken this phrase "in Christ" from verse 26. And I want to look at these phrases. And the thought is, how do I express to a new convert, one with very little Bible knowledge, how do you express and tell them what it means to be in Christ, or to be baptized into Christ, or to put on Christ? How do you explain that? And that's our introduction, and that's what we'll attempt to do this evening. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Back up to verse 26 there, where it says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." And I got to looking at this phrase "in Christ," and these two simple words appear 85 times in the New Testament. And so this evening, as we look at these phrases, we're going to see what the scriptures say concerning in Christ, into Christ, and what it means to put on Christ. Peter used this phrase in a benediction to Christians at the close of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 14, where he says, "Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus." We also find that it refers to a state of being, and it occurs in a point of time, as we read in Romans 16 in verse 7. The Apostle Paul says there, "Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me." So we see that it happens, that it has to do with the period of time even. And it remains even after death, according to the scriptures. In 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 18, there it says, "And also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished." And in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, it says, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." In Christ is the state of being where Christians are found. In Colossians 1 and verse 2, "To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." This is the point the Apostle Paul was making in Galatians 3 verse 28 through 29. It is a place where all are united together. And in Romans 12, 15 and 16, it says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. And there was a time that the Gentiles were actually excluded, but in Christ, they are all brought into this relationship. We read in Ephesians 2, verse 11 through verse 13, therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. I want you to notice the benefits and the blessings that are found in this state of being. The Bible tells us that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. It tells us that eternal life is in Christ. Romans 6 and verse 23. It says that we are made alive in Christ. Romans 6 and verse 11. The Bible tells us that we find or we have redemption in Christ. Romans 3 and verse 24. It also says that we're sanctified in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. And that we are forgiven in Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Hence, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of the life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So being in Christ is a state that is contrasted to being in the flesh or to being in the world. The Bible tells us that Christians were once in the flesh where sinful passions worked. We read this in Romans 7 in verse 5. It says, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. The Bible tells us that being in the world or being in the flesh, we cannot please God in such a state. And this we read in Romans 8, verse 8 and verse 9. There it says, so then those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you who are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. So though we remain in the flesh, that is, in this fleshly body, our state of being does not remain in this physical realm. Philippians 3 and verse 3 tells us, for we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. So as Christians, we must not love this world or the things in the world. And that's what it says in John 2, 15 and 16. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So we see that in Christ we have spiritual blessings. We see that we are no longer of the world, but we are in the world. We, although remain in a fleshly body, we still live by the Spirit of God. This next phrase, into Christ, all spiritual blessings are found in Christ, we need to learn how to get into Christ. And in Galatians 3 and verse 27, it tells us that baptism puts us into Christ. I want you to look at Romans 6 and verse 3. There it says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" One reference indicated that some people, in an attempt to avoid the obvious meaning of this scripture, they try to say that they were immersed or baptized into the Spirit of Christ. They confuse the element of the immersion with the resulting change of state of the individual. The element in which baptism takes place is something that we go into and that we come up out of. In Romans 6, verse 3 through 7, there it says, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, or slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin." So if the claim is that in that element is, if the claim is that the element is Jesus, then we would have to arise up out of Jesus. But the element itself is not Jesus at all. The change in the state of the individual is more permanent. We notice the example of Moses in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 through verse 3. There it says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food." So, to say that they were baptized into Moses doesn't mean that Moses was the element, but that they changed the state of their relationship to one that joined with Moses. The elements of their baptism was in the cloud and in the sea. And in the example of the church in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, there it says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." So to be baptized in the body itself is not the element, but the state in which we enter is the element. The Corinthians of Acts chapter 18 and verse 8 were baptized. The Bible says they were washed, according to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 11. The element of washing is water with the effect of cleansing. Notice Ephesians 5 verse 25 through verse 27. "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word." So one is baptized in water, but one is also baptized into Christ. Now notice the example of the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. There the Bible says, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' And then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.' So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. So notice from these verses that the entrance into Christ changed the person. In Ephesians 5:25-27, the washing of water cleansed the church. In Romans 6:3-7, baptism joins the believer in the death of Jesus so as to come up to walk in newness of life. Those in Christ are a new creation. They have been reconciled to God. And that is the meaning of 2 Corinthians 5:17, where the scripture says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Galatians 6:15 says, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but a new creation." So it is through the gospel that we are begotten, are born in Christ. We are born of water and of the Spirit, just as Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3:3-5. The Word of God came to us by the Spirit. We are raised up in Christ. This is why it was called a washing of regeneration in Titus 3:5. It's not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. So last of all, we have this phrase, "have put on Christ." The phrase literally means to clothe yourself with Christ. Albert Barnes, in his New Testament commentary, said the phrase "to put on the Lord Jesus" means to take Him as a pattern and guide, to imitate His example, to obey His precepts, and to become like Him. It is seen in Romans 13:11-14. There it says, "And do this, knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly, as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust." So, becoming a disciple of Christ eliminates all possibilities to follow the flesh. And again, there is the idea of a change in a person who put on Christ. In Ephesians 4:20-24, it says, "But if you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." So we find in these verses we have the idea of learning from Christ. We have the idea of laying aside the old self and its sins and taking on a new self that was created in righteousness. Notice the closeness of terms to a rebirth or a regeneration. We read in Colossians 3:1-13, it says, "If then you were raised with Christ," I want you to remember that phrase, we're going to come back to it in a minute. It says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Having been raised up with Christ is a phrase. How is that done? In Romans 6, verse 4 and 5, the old self of sin is laid aside. The new, renewed self is put on, according to Romans 6 and 4. There is that idea of rebirth or regeneration or a new creation. Putting on good characteristics that Jesus have, as we read in Romans 13, 11 through 14. So in Galatians 3 and verse 27, it says that this transformation, or the putting on of Christ, occurs in baptism. Colossians 2, 10 through 13, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven all your trespasses. So the body of sin, or the flesh, is removed. We were dead, but we were made alive, or we were reborn by having our sins forgiven. And how did this happen? By having been buried with him in baptism, and so raised with him as well. Notice that we are clearly told that we are not baptized in the medium of Christ, but with Christ. The medium, which is left unstated here, is still water. For there is but one baptism, according to Ephesians 4 and 5. So the idea is of being created in Christ. The transformation of the sinner into a disciple of Christ is accomplished through baptism. So think of Paul's point in Ephesians 2 and verse 1 through 10. You he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So the pattern remains the same. We were dead in sins. We were made alive together with Christ. We were created in Christ Jesus or reborn. So in closing, who was transformed? All of us. Romans 6:3 says, as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, all were baptized into one body, according to 1 Corinthians 12:13. In Galatians 3:26-28, all are sons of God. All are baptized. All are one in Christ Jesus. The question is, are you? And if not, why not? Hebrews 10:22-23, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The washing in water cleanses the heart of an evil conscience. That is why Peter says in 1 Peter 3:21 that baptism now saves us. If there's anyone that is subject to the gospel call, we bid you come while we stand and sing.